You're with Rick Munn on today's News Talk Radio. TNT.
Okay, we're back for our number three of Locked and Loaded today, which is Thursday, 23rd of June, 2022. In case anybody was not aware of that fact, we have today for one day only. It is unique, so therefore we need to make the best of it to try and have a little fun and to try and spread a little bit of truth. So that's what we're doing today on TNT Radio. Before I bring my last witness to take the stand for our number three, Mr. Matt Izzo, I want to give you a little bit of a breakdown on some news items that has caught my eye, even in the last 60 minutes, because news is always breaking. Banker bonus talk details need to be leaked, Labour tells the British government. You know, the world's suffering right now financially. A lot of people are struggling to make ends meet. A lot of the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. That is just a fact. And the bankers, for want of a better expression or a better title to give them, are lining themselves up for big bonuses again in the City of London. Is it good? No. Is it right? No. Is it fair? No. But that's life. What are you going to do about it? Focus on your own finances first and foremost. Let the bankers take their 30 pieces of silver. Sooner or later, their time will come. It's only a matter of time. You worry about you, let the bankers worry about them. Because let's face it, you're not going to be dipping into their bank accounts anytime soon. Europe, excuse me, is told to prepare for Russia turning off the gas. You know, Biden thought he did a smart move when he sanctioned Russia right back on the 24th of February this year. Everything seemed to be going well. Joe was cheering and applauding the fact that the ruble was tanking. But it bounced back and it reached its pre-invasion levels. And now Russia's doing very well. Thank you very much. America isn't doing so well on the economic front or, you know, in many fronts in America. The country's in a wee bit of a mess at the moment. And I'm going to speak to an American very shortly. And I'm sure he wouldn't argue with what I'm going to say. But listen. It is what it is. Again, you can only do with prepare or do with what you have, with what's in your hands. Just got to make preparations. Real strikes in the UK could escalate if a deal is not struck. So we're into day two of three for real strikes. Teachers, lawyers, bin people or refuse collectors have all threatened to jump in on this. Teacher, they're not getting enough money. If they get a pay rise, it's not making up with inflation. If you're not making ends meet, then look at your budget. See what you can trim off. Don't rely on the government. They're not going to keep banging stimulus checks into your pocket or furlough payments. You got to take responsibility for your own finances and realize that maybe, you know, four lattes a day is a little bit much, or going out to dinner every two nights is a little bit much. Maybe if you pared back a little bit, you wouldn't need a stimulus check, or maybe you would. I'm just saying, you take responsibility for your own life, and you take responsibility for your own actions as much as you can. And then, of course, if you need a helping hand after that, then examine those avenues at that point. Teachers going on strike is unforgivable and irresponsible, says Nadeem Zahawi, the education secretary in the UK, a rank hypocrite if ever there was one. It was not exactly to the child's best interest to close the schools down for over a year, keep them locked up in the house, destroy their mental health, and tell them that if they visited their grandparents, they could kill them not to have Christmas with their nearest and dearest. And now they're banging on about it's unethical for teachers to strike at this point in time. Give me a break, Nadeem Zahawi. Okay, this next guy knows about breathing, so I'm going to take a leaf out of his book. I've been exhaling for at least 4 or 5 minutes solid. I'm going to inhale and tell you that we'll be right back on TNT Radio.
Checking off the boxes.
Established, reputable.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Matt Izzo is back in the house on TNT Radio. Matt, how are you doing, sir? You're looking very happy, if you don't mind me saying so.
I'm doing great, Rick. How are you doing? Hey, let's take a deep breath. All right. Let's start off with taking a deep breath. Just inhale, exhale. All right.
See, that's why I like you. Okay, that's brother. I've been talking a lot about you. You're a kind of a, how would you say, a counterbalance to all the crap that I talk about on here. Because listen, it is what it is. We're a talk radio station, and there's a fine line, you know, between being aware of what's happening in the world and being obsessed about what's happening in the world, about controlling what you can control and getting worked up about the things that you can do nothing about. You know, and I watch your page, which, by the way, Matt is an old school TNT radio guest. He's one of the first people that I had on here, and you can connect up with him on Twitter. His Twitter following is growing, which is good. People are waking up to the fact that they need a little bit of guidance. You can follow him at Matt Izzo, MattIzzo, and he also has a website and a newsletter that you can subscribe to. If you go to linktr.ee/Matt Izzo, you can hook up with him there and avail of his services if needs be, or at least get inspired by him. Have I missed anything out there, or have you added to your portfolio of online presence?
I think you have it all. I have an Instagram too, which is Matt Izzo Fitness. So just MattIzzo Fitness. And I kind of talk more about like my training and my races, you know, that kind of stuff on there. So just, you know, just put it all out there, trying to show, you know, I've overcome a lot of stuff in my life. I've lost the same 75 pounds 3 times. I've now kept it off for over 5 years, right? Now I'm training for a Ironman triathlon. So I've learned that by sharing my story, I can use that to help, you know, inspire others, right? And, you know, everybody can get fitter. Everybody, you know, can get healthier, right? To just kind of even echo some of the things you were talking about, right? With, you know, you're not going to get into the banker's, bank accounts or anything like that. That's true, right? But everybody can take some steps to improve their own health, to raise their own energy, right? And these will have great impacts on us and our lives and even our finances, right? Because, you know, if you improve your health, you improve your energy, you're going to perform better at work, you're going to attract more opportunities into your life. So investing in yourself is always the best investment you can make, regardless of what the markets are doing.
Mm-hmm. Amen. The one thing that you can control is to a degree what goes into your mouth, for example. You know, no one's putting a gun to your head to force you to drink that bone broth. I don't know how the hell you drink that stuff, but you knock it into you like it's going out of fashion. You know, nobody's forcing you to do that. That's a decision that you're making. You know, I saw a post you put up yesterday about your partner was making cakes and there was caramel M&Ms and you banged a few into you and you got a little bit of a sugar rush and you saw how easily it is to become addicted to sugar. You know, that rang a chord with me. That's something I'm trying to consciously cut out a lot of in my diet since the 1st of June. I set a date on the 1st of June that I was going to try and establish better living habits, and I am making progress. I have more progress to make, but step by step. We can't expect to have it sussed in the space of a week or two. This takes time and effort, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's about taking small, sustainable steps, right? This didn't, for me, this didn't happen overnight. You know, this has been a process that's been happening for 7 or 8 years, right? You know, I mean, if you go back to me, you know, 8 years ago, I was a mess. I was 250 pounds. I don't know how many stone that is, but it's probably a lot of stone, right? And, you know, I drank too much. I ate a subpar diet. You know, I worked at a job I didn't like. I had low energy. I was, you know, probably suffering from depression. And, you know, I've turned it around, but it didn't happen overnight, not even close. It took, you know, being consistent and stringing together victories over the days, the weeks, the months, and the years. But if you do that, you know, and you just kind of get out of that negative spiral and start to turn it around, right? Just like what you're doing, you know, eat less sugar, right? You know, and try your best. And maybe you don't do it perfectly, right? But, you know, if you screw up, don't beat yourself up over it, right? Have some compassion, you know, even if you're not getting the job done, still treat yourself with compassion and, you know, look to why you did it, forget it, and just try to move on, right? So if yesterday you had some sugar, say, all right, you know what? I'm that wasn't a good choice. I should have did better. I'm going to do better next time. And then just, you know, start again today. You know, it's, you know, don't put too much pressure on yourself to just wake up and become a whole new person one day, because that's unrealistic. And that's why so many people fail, I think, at this, because they feel like they have to just do all these things and you don't, right? Just eat healthy, you know, get some sun exposure, you know, get a little bit of exercise, go for a walk, you know, and just build momentum going forward.
Yeah, I think it's important to, you know, you keep journals and you log. You would be an advocate of logging what you would eat. Some people say, well, that's a little bit OCD. That's a little bit obsessive. I don't have the time to do that. I don't think I need to do that. It does make a big difference. And, you know, it only takes, what, 2 minutes, 5 minutes maximum out of your day to keep an actual honest account of what you're doing. So a lot of people put a lot of effort in, but then they're left after a month to have an assessment. They go, well, I haven't really made any gains. I haven't really put on any muscle mass, or I haven't really lost any body fat, but you know, I thought I was doing well. If you actually log what you're doing and you have a realistic look at your habits, the good ones as well as the bad ones, then you can say, well, actually, I know why I haven't lost it, because I'm taking a bag of chips every night before I go to bed. And it doesn't matter if I swam 4 miles in the morning. I'm not exactly helping my progress by banging in 1,000 calories worth of saturated fats and processed sugars just before I get to sleep. We need to be brutal, don't we, with ourselves?
Yeah.
Not hard on ourselves, but we need to be brutally honest when it comes to assessing whether or not we're progressing or not. There's always a reason. And you can blame metabolism, or in Northern Ireland, we say, you know, that guy's got big bones. Okay. So if someone's like carrying a lot of weight, we say he's got big bones, so he needs a lot of, no, it's BS. You need to take ownership of what goes in that mouth of yours.
Yeah. Like you said, logging food. I mean, people say it's not worth the effort, but from my perspective, I logged everything I ate probably for about 7 years. And you know, it was a small price to pay to not be obese anymore. Right. And, you know, if it took me 5 or even 10 minutes a day of logging what I ate and, you know, using my analytical mind to make smart choices about what to eat, not just being guided by my emotional state. Right. And, you know, lots of the stuff that you talk about, you know, it's upsetting. It induces anxiety. Right. So it's really common when people feel that to start to eat emotionally. And then, you know, they'll say, okay, well, they won't say this consciously, but they don't feel good. And then they'll look to something to make them feel better. Right. And yeah, then for many people, that's food with sugar and fats, you know, and that's also all kinds of vices, alcohol, pornography, gambling, yep, right? These are all sorts of things that we do to soothe our anxiety, because the world we're living in, it's a stressful world, right? There's all kinds of stuff happening. You could really just go down these rabbit holes and get lost in anxiety. And then you use these things to soothe you, to feel better. And that's not how it has to be. So by educating yourself about this, by keeping a log, by keeping track of how things make you feel, how your body responds to them, using your mind, your analytical skills to make smart choices, right? You can break these conditioned behavior habits. You can break these emotional eating habits and really turn your health around, lose weight, gain muscle mass, whatever it is you want to do. But it does take some effort, because the system is stacked against us. You know, there's lots of powerful interests that make money off of us being unhealthy. And, you know, it has to be a grassroots movement. That's really what my social media is all about, is, you know, we got to take the bull by the horns ourselves and take control of our own health and well-being, because the people in charge, the corporations and the governments, they don't care. They're making money off of us being sick, off of us being fat. And that is, you know, that's not going to change. We have to change that. They're not going to change that.
No, they're not. In fact, if anything, Matt, they're upping their game a lot, especially over the last few years. They're going all out to make us as unhealthy, and to make accessibility to being unhealthy both as easy to get as possible and also as cheap as possible. When I go, I don't know about you where you live, but where I go in the supermarket, the only thing that's on offer is like chocolate or potato chips. It's buy one, get one free, or a family bag for half price. If you go to try and buy some raspberries or pineapple or some vegetables, hell's bells, it's almost as expensive as it is buying meat over here. One of the things that you advocate, and I am also a believer in it, although I fell by the wayside quite badly over the last few years, was the 10,000 steps a day business. And I know that's something that you did right off the bat. And in your own words, you'd said that you did it for years and it was a good habit to get into, but you didn't really see a lot of results because you weren't watching what you were eating on top of that. But still, you were establishing a good habit. That was my downfall. I did it religiously, monitored a pedometer, 10,000 steps a day. And I was like scratching my head, like I said, having a, well, why am I just staying level? Why am I treading water here? It's because of the other things that I was doing that would have taken away from the gains on the steps. So this month, this is just a testimony to you to encourage you a little bit. For the first time in 3 years, with one exception, today in the month of June, from it's now the 23rd of June, I've done my 10,000 steps every day, except for one day when it was raining heavy. Now, it bugs me because if you can see that little half blue bit, that's pissing me off. So what I'm doing is I'm not beating myself up about it. I'm saying by the end of the month, by the 30th of June, I will have done at least 300,000 steps. So whether or not I'm not going to be dogmatic about doing them every single day, but I'm going to make sure I do 300K by the end of the month. And as per today, it's the 23rd, I'm at 233,875. So I'm actually 4,000 steps up. I have a little bit of a buffer built in there in case I have another day where I physically just can't get out and do anything. And if I do this, it'll be the first time in 3 years that I have gotten back into that constant structured routine, and I'm going to do it come hell or high water. And if I do this for 30 days or more, they say if you do something 30 plus days, it becomes habitual, good or bad. I want to believe this is the beginning of me going back into the good routine of the 10,000 steps a day. Are you proud of me or what?
Yeah, that's great, Rick. You know, keep it up. You know, that's I walk 10,000 or more steps every day for 7.5 years. Uh-huh. And it started because one day it was snowing and I didn't quite get to 10,000. I still managed to walk to the bar at home that day. I think I got 8,000 steps and I woke up the next morning and you know, I was fat. I was in poor shape and I felt bad about myself. And I said, you know, I started this habit and it's not that hard to do it. And I could have walked for another 20 minutes and gotten my steps in, but I didn't do it. And I said, right then and there, I'm going to keep walking 10,000 steps every day. And I did it. And I did it, you know, for 2.5 years until I started to monitor what I ate and started to restrict my calories. And that was when I really started to lose fat, you know, but the walking habit was great because it gets you some positive momentum, you know, and it it's about stacking up these little victories, right? You know, and when you do it for a week or 2 weeks, you feel good about yourself, you know, and you get outside and do it, you get the sun exposure, you get out in nature, hopefully, right? These are all great things for us. And these help with our moods, our energy levels, our anxiety. So, you know, walking, especially someone who's overweight, you know, that they haven't been in the gym in a while, that they might not be super fit. Walking is the best form of exercise, hands down. People think you need to go and suffer in the gym. You need to go and run and, you know, push yourself. And that is the worst advice for somebody who's not fit and not able to handle that kind of stuff. Just get outside, start moving, do some walking, do some strength training, monitor your diet, right? And just go start doing that. Be consistent with it and just make adjustments as you go. And if you keep it up, you'll be successful in the long run. It's inevitable.
Yeah, good advice. You need to be consistent. That's the key. And you will have days where you don't feel like it. And you will have days where you don't quite hit your goals. But the secret is you don't beat yourself. You hold yourself accountable, but you don't get a big truncheon out or a big iron bar and start bashing yourself over the head with it and say you're a failure, you failed, you dropped the ball. No, keep on track and understand that some days are better than others. You might get injured. You might get really ill. Somebody might die. You just don't want to go out there and walk or do whatever. You got to do what you got to do in whatever way that suits you. And the 10K steps per day, not aside from the physicality of it, I don't know about you, but when I'm out there walking, you know, the problems of the world seem to go to the side or to go to the background at least a little bit. You become conscious of your environment. And another tip, if I can throw a tip in there, if you're sitting going, hell's bells, I haven't got the time to walk 5 miles a day or however many miles that translates into with your gait, okay? Break it down. I do 3K every morning now before the show. I walk down, I get a coffee instead of driving. I walk to the coffee shop. I come back. I don't eat anything until the show's over. Now I'm going to go and have a bowl of raspberries, blueberries, pineapple, and banana. When I finish this, then I'm going to go out and do at least another 3 to 4K. I'm going to come back. I'm going to do some prep. And then tonight, I'm going to pick up the balance. Okay. When I hit 10K, I can stop if I want, or if it's a really nice night, or if I just feel like I'm getting a lot out of this, I'm going to walk for as long as I damn well please. And it's going to benefit me rather than hold me back. So break it down into manageable chunks, I think, is another thing that people need to do. You can't necessarily do it in one go.
Yeah, 100%. You know, just however you have to do it, you know, it's just, we're not meant to sit in chairs staring at screens all day, right? So, you know, if you're working at an office job or something like that, right, you have to, you know, get up from your desk as often as you can, get outside, get exposure to the sun, right? These are all crucial health habits for us. And, you know, if you can't do it all at once, then that's fine. Break it up, right? You can walk in nature. You can be alone with your thoughts. You can do a walking meditation. You can listen to podcasts. You can listen to books. You can listen to TNT radio, right? When you're out on your walk, you can take some of your calls maybe on a walk, right? For your work, you have to have phone calls or whatever, take those on a walk. That's a great way to do it. You know, just talk to call your grandma or whatever, right? Call your mom, you know, and just, you can do so many different things on it. I've made myself better in so many ways, listening to books and podcasts and stuff like that, you know, and then just also being in the silence, which is great. I love it. You know, you get some of your best ideas, I find, when you're exercising, you know, and when you're just kind of getting lost in it. So it's really important to just disconnect from all this stuff. Don't be staring at your phone the whole time when you're walking. That's kind of defeating the purpose of it, right? Disconnect from the technology for a little bit and just enjoy being outside.
Sage advice. The many, many, many benefits of walking. They're not just physical, but they extend to mental and potentially to business as well. You can do business on the go. That's not stressing you out, obviously. So we're going to take a real quick break, Matt, just for 2 minutes. And when we come back, I want to look at some of the things that you've been posting on your Twitter page, which I like to use as talking points because they're good to use as talking points. So we'll be back in 2 minutes on TNT Radio. Please don't go away.
Shannon Joy on TNT Radio.
This is why they fear her so much. Brooke Jackson, I know it was a long introduction, but I just wanted to lay the groundwork because I am so impressed by you and everything you do. Welcome to the Shannon Joy Show.
Thank you.
We're going to talk about the FDA. You mentioned that you were listening to this circus sideshow. It's really just a matter of crossing the T's, dotting the I's, and going through the motions, right? They want this shot into the arms of the babies. I will give you some good news, though. In New York State, recently, as recent as 4 to 6 weeks ago, they're saying this in the polling, how few parents have actually gone out and had their kids vaccinated. They make us think that everyone's doing it, but I think the reality is that more and more parents are very quietly refusing.
It does make me feel better, yes. I actually just read a poll recently that 73% of Americans have reservations about these shots.
Shannon Joy on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Freedom Fest is one of the most important places to go every single year if you're in any way, shape, or form connected to the Liberty Movement. Because if you're not here, people think something's wrong. You're supposed to be here.
Don't miss Freedom Fest, the largest Liberty event of the year. July 13th to 16th at the Mirage in Las Vegas. For more information, go to freedomfest.com.
For the news and views you can't hear anywhere else, it's TNT Radio.
Okay, I'm joined by my old chum, Matt Izzo, ex-New York area. Now he's flitted all the way down to Florida. And by all accounts, judging by his videos that he's churning out, if he's ever seen my videos, I'm sitting in a car at night in the dark with the rain, and it's pretty depressing. He's sauntering around on Miami Beach with his top off, grinning from ear to ear, loving life. How important is it, my friend, to be in an environment where you are comfortable to enable you to flourish?
It's really important. It's great, you know, because we get a lot of our energy from our environment, you know, and So part of the reason I wanted to move down to South Florida is the year-round sun exposure. And you just can't make that up where I was living in the New York area. The winters are cold and dark. And, you know, being down here and having the sun all year long, it's a huge benefit. And I understand not everyone can do that maybe, right? But there are things you can do to improve the energy of your environment, right? Just clean up, clean up your office or whatever, right? Put a plant in or something like that. Turn off the TV maybe, right? Like, so you can take some steps to make your environment better. And by making your environment better, it's going to raise your energy and you're going to perform better. You're going to feel better because you're in a better environment.
Mm-hmm. Now, having said that, you made a point there. Well, not everybody can just up sticks and go, but you didn't do that either. I mean, like, you went down there a long time ago and scoped the place out almost when you were on the beginning of your journey to shed the pounds and to get into shape. So you kind of you had your eye on the place for a long time, and it was something that you built up towards, which was ultimately removing yourself from your home state and moving down there. So for you, even that took a period of time, and I think that's important to highlight as well, because a lot of people, they don't want to be where they are. They want to maybe be somewhere else, or they have a vision or a goal that they want to be somewhere else. But it doesn't just happen overnight, unless you're like super rich and you're super flexible and you can literally just order a U-Haul vehicle and drive all the way down and buy a property and relocate and don't worry about money and income. No, you need to make preparations. So is it also a fair point to say, or a piece of advice to give people, that if you're not happy with your current location, or your current job, or your current, social circle, it may not be practical to just walk away from it or get up and move somewhere else. But you can certainly say, well, hang on a minute, it's something that I could do if I prepare for it and I plan for it and I put the infrastructure there to enable that to happen. Should people start making plans now, even if they can't execute what they want to do?
Yeah, if you set the intention to do something, right, and you just stay focused on it, it has a way of working out. And, my girl Courtney, she went to school down here. She went to college at the University of Miami back in the heyday of their football glory years, right? So we've always kind of had this as something in mind. Like you said, we went down here back in 2016 when I was first, losing weight. I really liked it. Came down again in 2018, right? And, just had this idea to move down here. I didn't know how it would happen. It didn't seem realistic maybe at the time, but, life just has a way of working out. She ended up getting a promotion at work, and her employer started building a new school down here in this area. So she had the opportunity to relocate down here. And, it just happened, right? It was something that we attracted into our life, but, we had the intention, and that was something that we looked to do for a long time, and it worked out. So, it didn't happen overnight though. It was a process of years of waiting for that, but it happened, and it's great. So, if that's something you're interested in, right, any goal that you have, just keep it in mind, right. And keep taking small steps, working towards it. And, keep moving in the right direction, and you'll get there eventually if you just keep doing that.
That's it. Consistency again. And, vision, you need a vision. You need some kind of direction. You need something to work towards, or a goal to work towards. Otherwise, you're just sort of, moving around aimlessly or with no fixed direction or no fixed port of call. So wherever you are, there's something you'd say. The last time you were actually on, believe it or not, I think was in April. So what's that, 2 months? It's actually been 2 months since you came on. And strangely, having talked to you from January, I think it was actually, I remember you talked about that Ironman competition and you hadn't even entered it at that point in January. Then the next time you came on back in February, you had entered it. And then the next time you came on was in April and you were starting your training for it. And now here we are coming up to July. And I know you're chalking off the days. How's the training going for that? Or what do you do to keep the motivation levels up to train for something as intense as an Ironman competition?
It's not about motivation, because even you alluded to, with just the walking every day, you might not feel like doing it. It's more about, treating it like any other obligation. And, you know, I sit down on the weekend and I schedule all my workouts. Right now I'm doing nine training sessions per week. And that's only going to increase kind of as we get into the summer. So I schedule them all out, right? I'm going to do this training session, this date, this time, this place. It's on my calendar. And I go and do it, right? The same way you go to work in the morning, right? The same way you care for your family or you do any of these other obligations that you might not feel like doing. I just do them because one of the things that I really enjoy about these endurance races, you know, and doing these long triathlons is I'm somebody who always liked to get by doing the bare minimum, right? And in school, I was a smart guy. I could get by, you know, just kind of paying attention and, you know, I would do well enough. But these competitions force me to put the work in. Because I know that on November the 5th, I'm going to have to line up and I'm going to have to do a 140.6 mile triathlon. And either I've put in the work or I haven't, right? And, you know, I can't just show up on the day and wing it. So, you know, it forces me to kind of be dialed in for 9 months ahead of time with training, with recovery, with sleep, with nutrition, right? It demands that I bring my best into all aspects of my life. And that's why I enjoy it. So the, you know, training is going well. My motivation level is actually higher than it's been. I feel like I'm starting to make some real progress, right? I know I'm building toward even more. And it's exciting to be a part of that, you know, and it's about with everything in life, it's about enjoying the journey. It's not the destination, you know, because hopefully I cross the finish line and, you know, I feel great about myself for a couple of days, but when that happens, then it's time to move on to something else. Right. It's what I'm doing right now. Right. The Ironman is happening right now, every day as I build up towards it, you know? So that's really the enjoyable part, I guess. Enjoy might not be the right word, but it's the rewarding or fulfilling part of it.
You know, there's so much in what you've just said there that is of benefit to people. If you do have something that you're working towards, it does give you a little bit of a spring in your step. It does push you that little bit harder and makes you that little bit more accountable to yourself. And, you know, when you finish that in November, I have no doubt, you know, that won't be the end. I'm sure you'll have other things that you want to do or other races that you want to enter into, and then you tackle them at that point forward. But again, you know, it's crucial. You need to have a structure and you need to be dedicated to it. Otherwise, as you say, a lot of people, I think, do wing it in life. And I've been guilty of it myself in the past too. You think, okay, raw talent and a little bit of intelligence will take me so far. And I reckon I can blag my way. No, it doesn't work like that. You know, what you put into life very much is reflected in what you'll take back out of it again. So, if you're listening in, you know, and you're thinking, well, I can't do 140 miles. I can't do this. You don't have to. Just set something. And what I meant to say actually was, you spoke about sugar and you spoke about having a few caramel M&Ms and it give you a rush. Dare I say, is there nothing as rewarding or satisfying as actually accomplishing a goal, a personal goal? Does that not just make you feel like the best ever? You know, it's been a while since I accomplished one, but I'm moving towards it in the month of June. And I know on the 30th of June, if I can hit 300,000 steps for the month, I'll feel pretty damn happy about that. Just on a very personal level, won't tell anyone about it, apart from the fact I'm broadcasting it live on air here, but I'm sharing it with you. Do you get me? Is that not the ultimate addiction, that when you start to reach goals and see gains, you start to see your body change, you start to feel stronger, you start to feel good? Hell's bells, man. That's the most addictive thing in the world.
Yeah, you know, it's all about the ability to delay gratification, right? And sacrifice now for something in the future, right? And something that's going to be hard, maybe something that's going to be impressive. You know, there's a tendency for people in our society to look at an achievement and just, you know, say, oh wow, this person is lucky, or this person's talented, right? Or there's but you don't see the process that goes into it, right? You don't see the hours, the weeks, the months, the years of work, right? You know, even with professional athletes, you know, when you see somebody winning a professional sports championship, you don't see the decades of work that that athlete's put into it, right? You know, in just, yeah, you know, the waking up early when they're a teenager, and you know, training long hours in the gym and stuff like that. We don't see that usually. We just see the guy standing with the trophy. And, you know, I think one of the great things about social media, and especially Twitter, is, you know, I'm able to document the journey as it's happening. So, you know, it's more than just, oh, here it is on the day, you did it, yes, good job. It's, well, no, this is how the process goes. You know, it's, yeah, the Ironman race is in November, but it starts in February, really, right? You know, so mm-hmm. I think, you know, seeing things like that on social media really builds an appreciation for, you know, the process that goes into achieving something, whether it's an athletic goal or a business goal or a family goal or anything, right?
Yeah, we're gonna take a quick break. This is completely off the cuff. Which part of New York were you actually raised in? You weren't brought up in Queens in New York by any chance, or in Brooklyn area? No,
no, I was in New Jersey, actually. So outside.
No, I'll tell you what, you sound really like one of the earliest bands that I ever got into in my teenage years was a band called Anthrax, based out of Queens in New York. And you sound almost exactly like their rhythm guitar player, Scott Ian, and a little bit like their drummer, Charlie Benanti. So, and you look a little bit like Charlie has a beard too. So I thought maybe he's from Queens and he knew Anthrax. It was a wild shot, Matt. It was a wild shot. You've probably met Bon Jovi before you've met, or Bruce Springsteen before you bumped into Scott Ian from Anthrax. But anyway, I'm digressing a little bit. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back for the last 20 minutes with Mr. Matt Izzo imminently. Don't go away on TNT Radio.
You're in luck. You don't like your weather or climate? Pass a law to change it.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
ClimateGate professor Michael Mann, formerly of the United Nations, claims if you don't like the climate, you can just pass a law and change it.
We want to go. We want to prevent the problem from getting worse. And that means decarbonizing our economy rapidly. That means we need legislation. And there's still an opportunity to pass climate legislation this term in Congress.
And there you have it. Michael Mann says, just have your parliament, government, Congress, leaders change the weather by changing the laws. In the Middle Ages, people believed witches could change the weather. Have we really advanced? For the Morano Minute, this is Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
G'day, Fast Ed here. As a chef, you know what I hear a lot? Wow, that smells really good. Is it done yet? For certain foods, it's important they cook properly rather than how they look or smell. Those foods include hamburgers, sausages, chicken, and leftovers. The rule of thumb's pretty simple. Cook those foods to 75 degrees Celsius. And listen, I'm no Einstein, so I use a food thermometer, and I reckon you should too. That way, you'll know it's done without guessing, and no one will get sick.
A message from the Food Safety Information Council.
As Joe Biden negotiates his way out of the room,
we don't negotiate with the truth.
We mandate that the truth be told. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, time and energy. Time and energy. I want to look at time and energy. They're both finite and they're both very, very precious. We only have a certain amount of hours in the day and we only have a certain amount of energy to expend in that day. So the question is, what are we doing with our time and energy? Now, I want to link this in with something that I talk about a lot with other guests that I have on, but in the context of pointless bickering and backwards and forwardsing on social media about things that are just absolutely bollocks, to be quite frank with you, how much of a drain it is on your time, how much of a drain it is on your energy. Now, you put a post up yesterday, which I like, to say, do something more productive with your time than looking for arguments with strangers on Twitter. How wise that is, you know, and not even looking for arguments with them, but when they come looking for you, which undoubtedly they will, to push your buttons and provoke you to react and do whatever you're going to do, you know, is there not a lot of power in just saying, you know what, you take the high road and I'll take the low road. You type and I'll go and walk. Is that not a fair strategy?
Yeah, I mean, what do you want to argue with some random anonymous stranger for about something? Here, you're not going to convince them you're right. You know, like, mm-hmm. you know, this is not how this works. And I mean, in relation to that specific situation, yesterday I went to the gym and I ran on the treadmill for an hour and 25 minutes. I was running hill intervals because there's no hills in Florida. So if I want to get my hills in, I have to go to the gym. And they have a television show on the TV called The View. I don't know if you're familiar with The View, but it's a daytime talk show. It's hosted by Whoopi Goldberg. It's hosted by Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar is on it, and these other talking heads, right? And they're spending a large portion of the time talking about the hearings surrounding January 6th and, you know, all that stuff. And look, I don't care what your politics are, right? I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. Do you want to watch Whoopi Goldberg talk about politics, right? Like, do we need to see this, right? I just want to run on the treadmill in peace. I don't want to have this in my life, right? Like, yeah. And then, you know, I got called a fascist for tweeting this, and it's like, well, you know, I'm trying not to get involved in it, right? I don't want to be upset. I'm just trying to run on the treadmill in peace, you know, and people are just looking for arguments, right? And, you know, well, does this mean you support that? It's like, no, it means what I wrote, you know, just that's it.
Stop looking for things that aren't actually, not you, but the people that are reading. And that's the other thing too, you know, we're not politicians. We're not everything to everyone. You know, you're not changing your stances on health and fitness and diet day to day to fit with the current fad. And I've noticed, you know, you seem to attract a lot of space cadets, a lot of astronauts onto your page, people that their minds are in other worlds. And it doesn't matter what you write, someone's going to have a problem with it. So like the fact that you had an M&M is like, oh man, you're promoting sugar consumption. You had a Starbucks, oh, they're evil, they're big corporations, are you supporting big corporations? And, you know, they're part of the NW. Man, you're just having a coffee. You're just, you know, you're just enjoying a little treat in your life. Do people really have to break it down and analyze it and call you a sellout or call you a sugar promoter? It's mad, isn't it? You got to laugh,
I actually get Starbucks every day because it's the only coffee shop that's within walking distance of where I live. So, yeah. You know, I like to get outside and go for a walk and get a coffee, and there just so happens to be a Starbucks here. So that's what I get, you know, and I feel bad that I'm contributing to the imperialist machinery or whatever, but you know, I'm just trying to live my life. Right. You know, and I'm just a guy, I can't solve all these problems. I can't fix them all. Right. So I just try to talk about positive things and, you know, let's control the controllables, right? What are the things you can do today to feel better, to make the world around you better? Because if we all do a little bit to make our world a little bit better, right? Even just smile at some strangers, say good morning, compliment somebody, right? If they're wearing a pretty dress or something like that, make them feel good about themselves. This will make the world a better place because these things have a ripple effect, right? So, you know, just spread some positivity and some joy and, you know, try to disconnect from the anger and the anxiety.
Totally. And do you not find as well, you know, as you're talking, as you go about your business, simply, you know, if your goal is to go and get a Starbucks to give you, you know, a little bit of a, you know, it helps you mentally, you know, it's something you enjoy doing. And you build in a few steps going there, coming back. As you travel there, and as you travel back, you can have opportunities to do other things like smile at people, say good morning, how are you doing? Maybe help someone out that needs a little bit of help. I've found that I've got into a routine also. So before I do my show, I go out and walk about a mile to my local coffee shop. I could go to one closer, but I go to a further one. I have my coffee and then I'm coming back. But as I go, every morning there's a guy I pass who sits on a chair. He suffers from mental health issues, but he's a phenomenal guy. I love him. I love him to bits. His name's Keith. And he jumps up when he sees me coming and he smiles from ear to ear at me. And I don't give a damn whether I make it to the coffee shop or not, or I get that hit of caffeine. I've had the best encounter before I get there because there's a guy I meet and he's the most honest, direct, loving individual. And before I get my hit, I've already got a head of humanity and happiness, and he always makes me laugh and smile. And then I get to meet him again on the way back. And yesterday, in fact, you know, he gives me stuff. Yeah, he gives me stuff. These things here, he gives me little gifts every day as I'm passing by. Now, I'm not going to eat this Hubba Bubba chewing gum, but it reminds me that I'm encountering a decent human being every day, and I don't drink Coca-Cola Zero, but I keep it here as a reminder, or a coffee cup that someone wrote. They found out I was on the radio and they wrote Locked and Loaded with Rick Munn on it. You know, this is valuable to me. It means nothing to anybody else and it has no material value. But if I wasn't out and about, Matt, I wouldn't meet these people and I wouldn't get these blessings and I wouldn't have these lifts. So I think we need to incorporate a lot more happiness and just simply by moving around outside and not having a steely expression on or having our earphones in and being zoned out from the world. We need to be open to humanity and smiling and interaction. Is that a good strategy?
Yeah, I mean, we're social animals, right? And, you know, it's important that we disconnect and actually socialize with people and meet people, right? And like you said, take the headphones off, right? And, mm-hmm. Say hi to your neighbors and meet your neighbors, right? Because, you know, we're all people, you know, everybody's dealing with some hard times at times, you know, and their own issues. And I think it helps a lot just knowing that, you know, there's good people around you. And I really believe most people are good people, right? You know, all the noise you see on social media, a lot of this stuff is the fringes. You know, you're talking about the extreme far right, extreme far left, right? And yeah, these things are blown up to make it seem like they're more than they are, when the 90% of the people in the middle are just normal people, right? And we might disagree politically about how to do certain things, but at the end of the day, we all want the same sort of things. We want to be healthy and happy and safe, right? You know, these are what we want. And, you know, so we need to tune out the noise of the fringe distractions and, mm-hmm. you know, just meet the people around you, right? And, you know, this is one of the reasons social media can be so challenging, because you see this person and you see all their crazy thoughts and beliefs and you're like, I couldn't ever talk to this person. Look at them. They're crazy. Right. And when you meet somebody in person, it's different, because you have a different kind of rapport with them. You talk about things. Maybe you tell, okay, well, this isn't a topic we're going to talk about, right? Because this isn't an area where we see eye to eye. So we'll talk about this instead. You know, yeah. And a lot of that's lost on social media, where you just see, you know, a list of everybody's ideas and you're like, well, I couldn't talk to this person, but you know, they're a person too. And at the end of the day, they want the same things you do, probably.
Yeah. And you know what? I can be very judgmental. Most people, if they're honest with themselves, are very judgmental. So you'll see someone, and this is basic psychology, they say, you know, within 30 seconds of meeting someone for the first time, you'll have formulated 80% of your opinion about that person, generally, by the way they look, how they dress, how they speak, how they conduct themselves. That's natural. We make assumptions based on what we see. And I've had a lot of surprises, let me say, in my life, that sometimes the people that I initially assess to be, you know, the people that I wouldn't necessarily want to be around or hang out with have turned out to be some of my closest lifelong friends. But again, you know, it involves dropping your preconceptions and having an open mind and actually taking time to engage with people and not focusing on what you disagree about, but, you know, find some common ground and build a friendship from that. We're nearly finished. I want to touch on a few other things that you've written recently. And I like this one. You posted this up yesterday. Life is good. And I'm blessed to have so many amazing people and things in my life. I talk a lot about prior hardships on here, but I am grateful to have experienced them because they made me the man that I am today. No doubt about it, a mindset of gratitude and appreciation, even for the fact that you can get out of your bed in the morning, if you're fortunate enough to be able to do that, or you have a roof over your head, if you're fortunate enough to have a roof over your head, or live a life that you've been working towards. These are all blessings, and we shouldn't overlook them and neglect them and focus in on the things that we don't have rather than giving thanks for the things that we do. Do you not find that while we're shooting for certain goals or to hit certain targets, it's easy to fall into the trap of actually saying, well, you know what? I've hit a lot of other targets, and I know it was a while back, but I'm grateful for having done that because it's helped to form me into what I am today. Gratitude and appreciation, very important.
Yeah, there's a lot of power in gratitude. It's a very powerful state to be in. And I think, you know, I would imagine anybody listening to this right now has a lot to be grateful for. You know, you probably have internet access. You probably have a smartphone or a computer or something. It's probably, you're probably sitting in a building with some kind of climate control and indoor plumbing, right? Like, so like these are things that are really easy to take for granted, and they're amazing things, and they make our lives better. And, you know, it's easy to lose sight of that and just look at what you don't have, like you said, but there's so much to be thankful for, and, you know, feel grateful for that. You have a roof over your head, that you have food on the table, right? You know, these are things that our ancestors couldn't necessarily take for granted, and generations of people worked and you know, built up this kind of world that we live in now, where we have all these material comforts that are just taken for granted. So it's a great thing. That's not to say you shouldn't keep striving to you know, improve things. Sure you can. Yeah. But, you know, gratitude is a powerful state to be in. And you know, the more time you can spend in gratitude, the better. Courtney and I, every night before we go to bed, we keep a journal. We write down three great things from the day, right? So we just, every day we sit down and we share what were three great things from today. And they could be, you know, complex, like, oh, I got a promotion at work. Or it can be, oh, we have air conditioning and it's hot out, right? You know, it's it can be anything. There's so much to be grateful for.
Yeah. And also, you know, you mentioned something simple like a smile. You know, you don't even have to say anything. You just have to show your teeth. Not like a dog shows its teeth before it's about to bite someone, by the way. But, you know, you have to smile. And when you smile with your body. You smile with your eyes. People can tell if it's legit or if it's a phony smile like a politician. An Obama-esque smile, like him or loathe him, to me seems to be quite reptilian. But anyway, that's by the by. I'm not going to delve into that. But yeah, people can tell if you're being genuine, right? And the same thing goes, you talked about gratitude. So you sit down, and that's a good idea. You think about the day, you reflect on the day before you go to bed, and you say, well, you know what? I got a promotion. I interacted with someone and they left in a better condition than I found them. Simply saying thank you to someone for, you know, doing their job is also very important, because a lot of people that you meet in life are pretty much underappreciated, and they're struggling in maybe jobs that they don't particularly like to do. They attract a lot of abuse from the general public. So simply to say thank you to a cashier, maybe, for ringing your grocery store, even if they've got an angry face, because a lot of times you're like, well, they're quite miserable, their attitude stinks, I'm going to lift my bags and leave. Maybe you just saying, hey, thanks very much, I appreciate it. Maybe that's what they needed to hear in the day. Is that too much to ask?
A few months ago, I was walking down the street and I watched this truck driver. He backed an 18 wheeler across four lanes of traffic into this tight parking space at a convenience store. And he just did it on the first try, and he gets out of the truck. And I was like, wow, that's really impressive. Like, I couldn't imagine doing something like that. And the guy was stunned. Like, it's like, but like, I appreciated it. Like you did that. Like, that's a hard thing to do. And I'm like, I could just imagine trying to do that. That would take me half an hour. I would have hit six cars doing it, right? So, you know, complimenting someone can go a long way. You know, a lot of people, especially men, I think, you know, grown men don't get many compliments. You know, there's not a lot of people telling them that they look nice, or, you know, that they're doing a good job. You give somebody a compliment, man, it's going to make them feel so much better about themselves, and it's going to help them a lot.
And it's a compliment, by the way, with no strings, because if I want something from you, I'll be really nice to you. Hey, Matt. Hey, man, you're looking good today. Yeah. And you're like, well, what's he want? What does he want? You know, there's that old cynicism there too, that a lot of people, like, I believe with phone calls. Now, I don't really use the phone at all. I get the occasional call from a family member, but when I get an actual call, I know somebody wants something, because no one calls me unless they want something, right? So I'm always waiting for it to come. Hey, man, long time no see. Why don't we meet up? I'll take you out and we can have a coffee. Yeah, I'm thinking, what's the punchline here? Okay, so I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek here. But yeah, be grateful to people and compliment them with no strings attached, not hoping either to get complimented in return or to get a favor in return. Just simple, open, honest appreciation of the people that are around you. Because listen, I don't care who you are, we're all getting it tight at the minute in some way, whether it be mentally, physically, spiritually, financially, health-wise, whatever. There's people out there struggling in ways that maybe we can't see. And your smile or your appreciation or your compliment could be what it takes to get that person over the line for the day. And that is true. That could be what gets someone over the line for the day.
Yeah. And then, you know, they'll go home and they'll spread hopefully some of that positive energy to their friends or their family or their coworkers. Right. And this is how it has a ripple effect. Right. And, you know, it's you know, everybody, I really believe everybody is struggling, and you might look at people, they might be financially well off, or, you know, they might be on a private jet, but nobody has an easy life. It's not easy for any of us. And I don't think that's the point of this, is for it to be easy. We're here to learn, to overcome challenges and to grow and to develop. And, you know, I think just having compassion for your fellow humans and, you know, trying to spread some positivity. If we all did that, you know, maybe it's a cliche, but it would make the world a better place. And, you know, that's certainly my main message, is we can make the world a better place. There's a lot of powerful forces from above that prey on the opposite, that prey on the negativity, that want to keep us in a state of fear to make money off us. But, you know, it doesn't have to be like that.
It doesn't. Lastly, we're just going to wrap up, and I want to appreciate you coming on. By the way, as always, it seems like it's been not so long since we spoke, but it's been a while. Hopefully we'll get you on again sooner rather than later. Matt Izzo at Matt, MattIzzo, and on linktr.ee/Matt Izzo. Hook up with him. He's a happy guy, and I mean that. You know, if you're depressed with the general shenanigans on social media, he has the sense to block all this crap out and focus on the here and now, and focus on improvement rather than fighting and squabbling and wasting time and energy. Matt, thank you very much, sir. It's early in the day where you are. The sun is coming through your window. You go train. I'm going to go eat fruit. I'm going to get fresh air. I'm going to do my steps. You're going to do your steps. You're going to do the Ironman, and you're going to win, win, win. That's what I say. So, Matt Izzo, thank you, sir. And say hi to your partner, Courtney, as well. I've seen her on Twitter also. Next up, we have Hesher filling in for Patrick Henningsen, who's gone AWOL. Don't go away. This is TNT Radio.